Hey, welcome everybody. Thanks for joining this week. Excited to have everybody back. This week, we're going to talk about winning in the landscape industry. We're just going to talk about kind of what it takes to prepare to win and some things that oftentimes many of us get so busy and, you know, outrunning landscape businesses, there's 100 things to deal with. We're just going to talk about some blind spots maybe when really planning for a successful year. So this week, I've got a few exciting guests here with me from McFarland Stanford and the Grow Group. So I'll let you guys go ahead and introduce yourselves, and then we'll kind of get into things.
Okay, Chris, go ahead.
All right, well, excited to be here with you, Mark. Thank you for having us this week. My name's Chris Pinchick. I'm with McFarland Stanford. Very excited to be with everyone today. Some of you I probably work with in our peer group network. I'm one of the partners at McFarland Stanford, where we provide back office service support as well as facilitate peer groups on behalf of the landscape industry. And so I'm one of the coaches and facilitators and partners at McFarland Stanford and have the privilege of working with Vince, my colleague over here. Vince, you want to share some about yourself?
Yeah, thanks, Chris and Mark. Thank you again for having both of us. This is super exciting for us to be able to spend some time with you and your followers as well. And yeah, so I'm Vince Torchia, originally from Cincinnati, Ohio. I work for the Grow Group, started by Marty Grunder, right? Many of you probably know Marty in the industry, who founded Grunder Landscaping Company. So I've been working along with Chris and his team at McFarland Stanford and Grunder Landscaping Company. We facilitate peer groups. We have our own in-person events, and we love to partner with great people like you, Mark. So thanks again for having us on.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So big initiative for LMN this year. And I think many of our listeners that have joined in here today have heard this before, but is to really get as many landscapers as possible in peer groups. We see firsthand every day how well they work. I'm a huge believer in peer groups. I've certainly learned an absolute ton over the years by taking part in peer groups. I'm still in two peer groups now. I think one of the key functions of becoming a continuous learner or a lifelong learner is really to engage with others. And so I thought I'd bring you guys on and talk about, I guess, a little bit about peer groups, but, you know, more about the things that you often see people missing when kind of really trying to develop that winning formula. And it's an ever evolving formula or recipe, as we all know. As the businesses change, the plans change, as the market changes, all these things kind of have to come into play. And so I thought you guys would be able to provide some good insight and some good takeaways for everybody here today. So off the start, I just wanted to kind of ask a quick question just to familiarize some people with the peer group experience a little bit. I just wanted to ask you guys, like, what is sort of the number one thing or the first thing that you often see people, maybe learn or see that they may not have been focused on before when they do initially join a peer group? Like, what's that one thing that you see pretty consistently, like, kind of become clear that may not have been in the past?
Vince, you want to give it a first go?
Yeah, no, I'll go first. So I think number one, Mark, from a feeling standpoint is this feeling of accountability, right? A lot of people are not used to having somebody else hold them accountable to the things they said they were going to do. A lot of owners, right, they're at the top of their organization. They don't have anybody else they report to. Whether they do something or not, they don't have the person asking on updates from them, or they don't have that pressure that some other team members feel. So that accountability is that first thing that people really feel. And again, in a positive way, it's like, hey, we want to do the things that we've committed to. We want to do the things that we said we were going to do. And so that positive accountability is, I think, the first feeling, the first kind of cultural change they feel. And then quickly after that accountability piece, Mark, it's funny. I think the next thing that happens is they realize that they don't know their numbers as well as they should. So that seems to be kind of the second big takeaway that everybody has. The first is that feeling of, oh, it's good to have other people to kind of rely on to help me get the things done I've committed to. We all have more ideas than we could ever execute on, right? So it's the accountability to get those things done. And then right behind that is that I thought I knew numbers. I thought I knew financials. I thought I knew what metrics mattered. boy, my eyes are open to all sorts of new things now that I've, again, around my peers more than I have been. Those would probably be one and two for me. Chris, what do you think?
Yeah, I would say the biggest one, it's funny, I actually had this on one of my calls this morning with one of our guys. It's learning how to empower your team members. I mean, oftentimes, I mean, when we get involved, you get a software platform, you're getting things rolling. You're a small business. You've been basically holding the wheel super tight, trying to white knuckle that thing and drive it to growth without really learning how to empower your team members. And so it's learning how to teach individuals how to grow beyond themselves, to be able to help and support an operation. You know, a lot of what we do is helping support small business owners and helping them learn and educate and drive that accountability, not only with themselves, but also with their individual team members. You know, because a lot of what we're going to ask you to do is it requires you having a team of support individuals around you if you want to accelerate and be able to grow your operation more effectively. And, you know, we all know you can grow to a certain point by yourself, but eventually you will bump up against that wall. I mean, you will hit the wall, and it's just figuring out what that is for you and where that is. And then how do we start to create those opportunities with your team?
Yeah, that, and I mean, as a general topic, you know, thinking about how to prepare to win, I always look back at my career in landscaping, and I really look at the times that I was most unprepared and all of the mistakes that I made when it came to really building out an org chart and really understanding that all of my big ideas did require people and accountability structures and an org chart that would actually support that much change. And I think myself over and over and to this day, I have more ideas than resources. And when you do a little bit on a lot of things, nothing ever kind of completely comes together. And I think it's such a challenge as an entrepreneur and as a leader to learn how to really sort of disseminate those ideas and create an accountability structure. I just love that that's where you focus and get started. I think it's just honestly a huge blind spot for most mm-hmm. of us entrepreneurs. And when a third party and your peers can come in and kind of quickly tell you that, hey, you're missing some foundational pieces, it really does change one's perspective. So love those answers. Mm-hmm. So a few big things that I'm noticing as I've been out on the road doing masterminds and working with customers, and even last week I was at the leadership forum with NALP. There is an enormous amount of technology that's hitting the industry in all areas. And I'm not just talking about business management software or time tracking or CRMs. I'm really talking about everything from, you know, robotics, and we've got clean energy with battery power really sort of becoming a hot topic. We've got all kinds of opportunity with AI in the way that we do marketing and the way that we do sales. Now there's outbound AI
right.
reps. And I mean, everything has started to change so quickly over the past 12 months. And certainly here at LMN, we're trying to adjust strategy on the products we build and what that roadmap looks like. But talking with contractors, I'm really sensing it's almost become, more unclear than ever as the technology pace has changed so much. Is there some things that you're suggesting, like people really sort of get ahead of when it comes to some of these technology advancements? I think that's a question that many have in the industry. I think it would be great to hear your perspective and what you might be sharing with your groups.
Yeah, I mean, what I like to share with people is I didn't originally get into landscaping. I've got a bachelor's of science in horticulture. I didn't get into landscaping to become a software and technology expert, right? And so what I find a lot in my coaching and working with other professionals who probably have a similar background to myself is that it's knowing where your strengths are and knowing where your weaknesses are, right? And so if my strength is knowing landscape, knowing horticulture, knowing sales and operations and how to facilitate a business, my strength is not necessarily figuring out how all of my technology works. So what do I do is I see this a lot on our recruiting side, is we're now recruiting a lot of professionals that are dedicated technology professionals, that their job is solely to come in and make sure the platforms are working effectively, make sure we're utilizing the platforms effectively, make sure that the dashboards we're setting up, that the data going in is good, clean data so that we can do something with the data. And so a lot of what we've started really trying to coach people on is figuring out who that champion is in your organization, and whether they have a landscape background, don't have a landscape background, that makes no difference to me. But what I want is somebody that is 100% focused to seeing success within a business, driving through the business, and using all of these different components to get effective results in your business. Because, you know, we talk about garbage in, garbage out. You can track everything in the world, but if it's not good data, that puts you in a bad position. So if you have somebody that's helping to watch these things, monitor these things, ensure that your team members are trained and effectively using these things, you can do a lot as an organization to help drive these things over the finish. And that's the advantage that AI gives us. That's the advantage that, you know, LMN and these software platforms give us, is being able to have good, clean data that we can get faster in what and how we're producing results. And so that's a big one I'm seeing. You know, Vince, I know you see a lot on your side. What are you seeing?
Yeah, I think that, you know, there is definitely a shift in landscaping. I think more has changed from a technology standpoint in the last 5 years than in the last 15 years, right? I mean, it really is amazing all the things that have happened. If I had a little white flag, I might put it up. Some people have to surrender to it and say it's here. Like the technology curve is here. So like we either have to jump on it or we may not exist going forward, right? So you do have to surrender to it. And Chris, to your point, there are no silver bullets. There is no perfect version of anything, right? It's all kind of the way in which we use it and utilize it for our teams. But I think what I would want people to know, Mark, is that focus on the short wins, right? If we can just, if someone is completely weary of, you know, ChatGPT, show them a very quick win of how it can help them, right, craft a reply to an email. Show them a very quick win of how it can help them maybe translate a message into one of their team members' languages that they don't speak. Start to show people like, hey, I know this is new and different and it's a little scary, but like it's helping us, right? It's helping us plan our days. It's helping us communicate. It's helping us, you know, do a little bit more so that we can do the things that Chris talked about. We can do great landscaping work, right? We can focus on our team. We can focus on the trades that we do and not get so caught up on maybe some of our weaknesses, which would be replying to Mrs. Jones' email. That's kind of a hard email to reply to. Boy, it's kind of getting hot in here. She's not happy with me. Maybe ChatGPT can give me some words that can help me maybe calm this email down, right? That's a great use of the tool. But I want people to know it's okay, right? This technology is here to help us. It's here to make us better. It's here to make our teams better. And it's okay to surrender to it, but let's focus on the quick wins. Let's make sure that we're not just downloading apps and adding all these things onto our team's plates when we don't really know how we're going to use them. Let's get them involved in our team and let's get some quick wins out of them.
Yeah, that's good. Really good advice. I think I really liked what you said, Chris, also, like just getting one person in charge and really giving them the reins on a project. I think, you know, I noticed this a lot in my business. When we're not really clear on who owns the project, and we do kind of have a sense of who the stakeholders are, the project doesn't really often move forward without just having that true singular owner. That's something I was just talking about in my last meeting. This holds true in most projects, right? Whether it's a construction project or a big maintenance contract, it's kind of the same with tech. If there isn't somebody who's been sort of tasked with owning it, then it gets to be hard to really look at. I think like one thing that I'm seeing a lot of companies start to do is also create tasks, not only to deploy technology that they buy, but to look at the potential in advance. And I think it's nice to see that starting to happen, but I think a takeaway for people here would be definitely get ahead of some of the technologies and look at how they could impact the business and create a business case for some of these things. Because, you know, I can say like looking at some of the products that exist right now in AI as far as sales and marketing would go, I think most landscape companies don't have a sales and marketing department. They don't have the staff, but by utilizing some of these tools and making it maybe a part-time job for somebody who is in one of those departments, I think you could like lever that those tools to, you know, 4x your pipeline fairly easily by just knowing that that product exists. But I think what's happening is the products are coming to market so quickly, people don't even really know what exists out there. And so I think, you know, a good starting point is just assigning the accountability for somebody to get out there and see what is actually in market for each like vertical. If it's maybe sales, marketing, weather monitoring, customer notifications, you know, there's so many different categories now where we can leverage some of this technology and just do a lot more with less people. And I think ultimately, I think that's where this opportunity really pays off in the long run.
Yeah, but I think you nailed it. The technology is coming so fast and so quick. I mean, it really is. I mean, we have somebody in my office that all she does, she's attending webinars all the time. We're looking for the little nuggets that, man, I had no idea that this software even did this, or this even existed that we could do this. I think we can utilize it, you know, and then being able to take the next step and actually go ask the questions, see what's involved, see how it works with your team, and get feedback from your team on how it's being received and what we can do with it. You know, but awareness is the first step, you know, and I know everybody's getting 1,000 emails a day, but if you're committed to something, I mean, we all know a software platform is expensive. It's a significant amount of money. And my favorite question is people who immediately want to back away. Well, this one doesn't work for me. I'm going to move to the next one. My first question is always, well, what percentage of it would you say you're actually using? Like if I start diving into how much of the percentage of the software are you actually using, 90% of the time, the people who are leaving a platform are leaving when they're only using 25% at best of what that platform can actually do. You know, and what Vince and I coach to a lot in the peer group is you should be using 50 to 75 or more before you even consider something else. Because if you're not diving into all of that, then it's fruit that's on the vine that you're not taking advantage of, that's sitting there, and you're wasting time, effort, energy, and money without ever really fully exhausting what you have, you know? So that's always the best question I like to ask all of our peer group members is, you know, where are you in the usage of your platforms and utilization, and how do we get more out of what we have?
Yeah, no, I think that's really, really good advice. Had a couple of really, really good questions here. One that I wanted to kind of just raise was like, how would you and where would you go to implement AI in marketing? That's a big question, and that we could certainly spend an entire webinar on that, but. marketing is one where there is a lot of AI coming out, whether it's content generation to actually generate the content for you, write the email copy, produce. There's AI now that produces logos for us. I mean, you really, it's to the point now where the graphic design can be done using AI, the content writing or the copywriting, and then of course, all of the capture of analytics as well. And so there's many, many different places. Does anything come to mind for you guys specific to marketing that you've seen?
You know what's funny too, Mark, is that if I don't know how to do something in AI, you can go to ChatGPT and you can say, I don't know how to use ChatGPT for marketing. Can you point me to some resources that I can use? And it's funny, it'll just like list them out for you. So I know that people are even using that as a starting point. But to your point, there's so many tools out there that that's like the first place that I go is I ask the AI, hey, can you help me with the AI? And that seems to get me at least pointed in the right direction.
Yeah. And I will tell you, just speaking on behalf of our recruiting team, we're using it for marketing to internal employees and potential internal employees. So Vince, you mentioned it. I can translate any job description in the world to any language I want utilizing AI in about 15 seconds, right? So gone is the day of having to have somebody manually translate all these things into broken Spanish that doesn't match with El Salvadorians and Guatemalans, and they don't all speak the same type of Spanish. You know, so like there's 5,000 variables we can start to utilize just from how we create career and growth paths, marketing to internal employees, job postings. I can come up with one job posting and come up with 50 iterations and 50 different versions in about 3 minutes that before would have been somebody just sitting there going punch, 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 punch. Time wasted, right? That gone is that day. So marketing, I'd say sky's the limit. I know our marketing team is utilizing it in more ways than I could probably even go through in this call. So
yeah, we're excited to have John, your CMO, is actually going to be speaking at our upcoming summit specifically about AI marketing tools. So we're all very excited to see what he has to share coming up in Orlando here in February. Moving on the labor side, are there some key strategies that you are sort of recommending to your contractors in the peer groups on, you know, things to implement that can really impact, I guess, the ability to attract, to create more efficiency, to really optimize the team? I mean, ultimately, I think the labor shortage and developing the labor that we have remains to be the number one challenge in the industry. There are a couple things that you like to recommend people are doing this time of year to prepare for the coming season, a few takeaways or ideas that people that have joined us here today could get to work on.
Yeah, Chris, I'll hit one quickly and then let you maybe clean it up. But again, this is more of a, what I would call a cultural thing for us within companies, but team members need to know what the score is and how we're going to keep score and how we're going to track that score. And so typically, right, whether our end goal is, hey, we've got to deliver all this mulch on this property and we've got to figure out a better and faster way to do it, right? There's going to be equipment, there's going to be technology that can obviously help us do that, right? There's going to be equipment and technology that can help us beat hours on the pavers that we lay. But all of that might get lost if we don't really know or have a scoreboard that we're already tracking to. So every younger team member I talk to or every younger person coming in, they want to know what the score is, right? How are we keeping score? What are the rules of the game? How am I going to be judged, right? All these pieces. So the first step is having those scoreboards out there. And so I always tell everybody that baseball figured this out years ago. You can look up at a scoreboard and see runs, hits, and errors and immediately get a sense of how we're playing in this game. And if you want to in baseball, there's a whole field, sabermetrics, right, where you can see how is Mark doing as a two-out hitter? How does Mark do against left-handers? How does Mark do in a night game or a day game? And all that's great data to have, but we've got to start with like runs, hits, and errors. So I would encourage everybody, as we're looking at technology and looking at equipment and looking at things that are coming in the industry, let's make sure that our scoreboard is properly pointing us to the things that we should be going towards. Because otherwise, we may go down the rabbit hole or this goose chase, and we may buy this awesome piece of equipment, but, oh man, we maybe didn't really need that, right? We're not really struggling there. We're really struggling with dispersion of mulch on a property, right? So that's an hours thing. We got to track our hours better. So I think, Mark, my first recommendation for everybody would be get that scoreboard nice and clear, and hours has to be an important part of that scorecard. It's really what we sell on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna totally piggyback on what you said there, Vince. I mean, scoreboard is absolutely 100%. I agree. The only thing I would add to that is that where does that translate? All my themes right now on my accountability calls this month, Mark, have actually been centered around KPIs, key performance indicators. Why? Because everybody is wrapping up their 2023 financials. If they haven't already finished that, they're wrapping that up now. They're wrapping up their 2024 budgets. So they're looking at what's ahead, what are we forecasting, what's in the pipeline. And so where does that put us? Well, right now in January, that should put you, as you should be in your individual one-on-ones, you should be starting to review what your KPIs are for your individual managers. Every account manager should have a set of 3 to 5 KPIs. You know, that account manager, maybe it's enhancement, you know, sales goals per month, per week. Maybe it's budget to actual man hours, and maybe it's client renewals or warranty. You know, there's 3 KPIs that you can use as an account manager, you know, but what can we do is we can utilize all the scoreboards that Vince is talking about, which you're getting good data. And now we take those scoreboards and we create those key performance indicators that I can now manage my team over the course of the next 12 months through my individual one-on-ones to help get better results. And so as we've been working through our themes this month on these accountability calls, we're finding it's amazing how many people just aren't thinking about that yet. And I know, you know, Vince, Mark, you and I both know spring is around the corner, and you don't want to be thinking about this come April 15th, right? If you're figuring it out then, you're too late. You know, that's when We're producing, we're making money, we need to be hitting the ground running. This is absolutely a time frame that we need to be focused and really dialing in those metrics so that we have a good, clear path of what success is going to look like over the next 12 months.
Yeah, I love that advice. And I think, you know, for those that are joined us here today, that, you know, write that one down. You know, what the guys just shared here is really a key need in every business. We close January with a finalized 24 budget. And then you got to break that down into some key performance indicators for everybody to kind of roll up to in the business. And so on the crew level, you know, you're going to want some crew budgets so that they understand how much revenue they're going to produce and what they've got as a crew in terms of labor and equipment to go out and produce it. And then they have to really just understand that estimated versus actual hours is their key metric day to day to roll up to that. And so I just love that bit of advice is like, set that budget and tie the KPIs to the budget. Make sure that's done here in January, and you've got lots of time then to roll that out to the teams throughout February and, mm-hmm. and into March when we get usually incredibly busy when spring rolls around. But love that feedback. What about kind of other technologies that are out there, like just on this sort of thought of planning and preparing in advance? A few things that I've really noticed, I've started to hear a lot more about at industry events that I've been to, is like really starting to think ahead of the curve when it comes to autonomous mowing, autonomous snow plowing. This is, you know, kind of ties into battery power in many ways as well. We're definitely starting to see some states and regions starting to outlaw gas powered small engines. That's already started to happen. I know it's a really, really hot topic, and I think sort of a scary one for many companies who have multi-year contracts as these laws start to change more regionally and sometimes without really the warning or sort of time to really even prepare. Is there some things that you've been suggesting or looking at there?
Yeah, I know a lot of what, I mean, I see this a lot is, for me, it's always coming back to irrigation technology. There's so much that's there from an irrigation technology standpoint that you can be taking advantage of. And I'll just use the winter storm we just had in Texas. I'm in Dallas, Texas. There's nothing better than knowing that I can turn off all the controllers for an entire account manager or platform and never have to leave my office when the ice hits and when the snow hits. But that's what smart technology provides. I mean, even better, take that one step. I no longer have to go turn these controller systems off because they're self-moderating and turning themselves off, right? What an advantage that is in such a, I mean, 10 years ago when I was doing property management, I had to go turn off 75 controllers. Well, good luck trying to do that and do that on budget and not on overtime hours when you're having to go in and out of people's homes or garages and backyards, and you got to turn off these little Rainbird 12 station controllers, where now I don't have to do that. I mean, you know, that is what technology provides. And man, that has happened so fast and so quickly. I remember that used to be an anomaly when we provided that service. And now this is, it's at your fingertips and everybody can do it, you know? So that's a big one for me. Vince, what are some things you're seeing?
No, yeah, I want to add to that. Obviously, I want to make a plug for everybody to be involved in their state associations, because Mark, they are really good about putting out things coming out legislatively, right, that will impact your state. Every state's at a different level of this game, but I would encourage you to be part of your state association because they're really on the forefront and they can give you resources of, hey, you can't buy a battery operated anything handheld, right, starting in 2025. So here's what you can do about it, right? Or here's what our associations are doing. So stay involved in, from that perspective. But I'd say the other big piece of technology that I don't know when, and I feel like everybody got rear or forward and rear view facing cameras in their trucks in the last year. It's something I never heard about previously. And all of a sudden, maybe the technology got less expensive or people are just doing it for insurance purposes. But I've really seen a pickup of that. And although we've been talking a lot about efficiency, I love to kind of bring it back to safety with team members as well, right? So there's the technology that makes us more efficient on properties or makes us more efficient at our work. But if we can have those rear view or front facing cameras as part of our GPS modules, Mark. I think it's something people could look at going forward. And again, really take on the employee safety aspect of that as well. It's one that I want to make sure I talk about.
Yep. Yeah, no, absolutely. There's so many different technologies that have hit at once. I think that's where I think people are struggling to decide, like, well, what do we do first? And I think for that reason, a lot of people just aren't doing anything. Autonomous mowing, there's a huge opportunity there. Certainly there's some companies that have really jumped on that, and they're seeing, you know, incredibly good success with autonomous mowers. But, you know, from a business perspective, there's a lot of fear around, you know, the costs and the profitability and the changing technology. You know, if I invest heavy today, what, like, is this technology going to be outdated in 2 years?
And so, yeah, it's funny that you mentioned that. Some of our clients, again, people have their own perspective on this, are actually saying, we're not going to be the early adopters of autonomous mowers. We're not good at early adopting things. We're not good at predicting how things are going to go. So we're going to wait, and we're going to let our competitors do it for 2 years, and then we're going to try to learn from them. Some of them might get burned, Mark, as you know. Some of them might be like, if you're not first, you're last in this. Some of them may learn some good things by saying, actually, we know our strengths as a company. We're good at solving problems, right, that are out there. Maybe not good at adopting new technology. So every company has a different strategy, but you're spot on. Those that are weary of it, maybe it's okay, and you sit and you watch and you learn. But you can't do that with everything, as you mentioned. Otherwise, you will get left behind.
Yeah, for sure. So you guys mentioned irrigation. That's an interesting one. And I know that you have a relationship with Weathermatic, and I know mm-hmm. that you've done some training and whatnot. You know, how have you seen technology like that really impact businesses? I mean, you mentioned the scenario where you'd have to turn off the controllers. Day to day throughout the year, what kind of impact is that sort of AI monitoring type software having on your clients that are using it? Like, maybe share some, you know, concept of return on investment or hours saved. I mean, that's one of literally dozens and dozens of things that I think landscapers can be doing. But I do think that sometimes people don't see the return on investment. And if you could, you know, maybe share a couple of examples of how that you've seen that play out, maybe just in irrigation, that'd be great.
Yeah, I mean, I'll start, Vince. I mean, I'll tell you, we had the privilege of getting to work with Weathermatic probably almost 10 years ago when SmartLink was new to the market and a new technology, where we helped them create the platform of how we take this to all of our residential and commercial account management. And so we had the privilege of getting to work with the owners, you know, Lex and Mike and Brody and those guys, with creating the platform of how we bundle this, how we package this, how we sell this, and then how do we make sure that the customer doesn't have an option to take our controller. If they choose to take our maintenance service, how do they take our controller with that service? And what does that allow us to do? At the end of the day, it was an investment on our part, but at the end of the day, we also knew we were making that up, because if my account managers can get to all these controllers faster and more effectively and more efficiently, what does that tell me? It tells me that they should be able to spend more time on property looking for opportunities for enhancements, looking for the low-hanging fruit that we can be selling to customers, and looking for ways to improve the customer experience versus just 50 million phone calls trying to get into a garage to control an irrigation controller, right? Yeah. And so being able to provide that to our customer was an added benefit. We treat it the same as a cable box, right? You don't think about your cable box. Your cable box is there, it exists all the time, and it gives you full functionality to control your TV. And now they can just do updates through your cable box. We don't have to go change it out, you know? And so getting to create that relationship with them over 10 years ago has really helped in helping how we apply this to landscape businesses today, that they've been able to take that platform now to landscape companies all over the country, which is really exciting. And Vince, maybe you can talk a little bit about just how that program looks and how we've used that.
Yeah, and I think a big thing is just water management in general, right? Talking about technology changing, water management is a big piece of that as well. And I think the biggest thing that we're learning with our partnership in Weathermatic is that irrigation is becoming like a sought-after profit center now. Similar to how enhancements are for maintenance groups, like irrigation cannot be like that thing that we don't like to do because it's hard to find techs or it's hard to do this and that. It's like, no, we can actually stand out talk about return on investment. Like, companies are calling us because we can run a great irrigation program because we've invested in technology, and now irrigation is a profit center for us. We pay our techs more. We build them out at higher rates. We're earning margins that are like as high as anything else. Some companies are running at right north of 60% margins on irrigation work, and having those techs out there busy all day long, all of a sudden other landscaping companies are calling you, and now you're subbing for your competitors, and then you can take over other work. I mean, it's just a great opportunity for a profit center. So for many companies, Mark, irrigation is a tough thing for them. And technology like this has allowed it to become, again, a thing they can play offense on and tout it as something that we do well. And to your point, it's a great ROI because of the high profitability built into what, again, techs charge, the services they bring. And again, it's more opportunity for you to be on the property. And every time you're on the property, you can notice, sell, build a relationship, and continue to grow. So yeah, irrigation it's allowed it to become a much more positive conversation.
Yeah, incredible. Yeah, I think I'm just I like the irrigation as a topic because it's been around a little bit longer than mm-hmm. some of the other more recent technologies that have hit the market, you know, in mowing and plowing and whatnot. But I really do think that this industry is very, very quickly changing, and I think those that do get ahead on the technology adoption are going to be truly tech enabled landscape companies, and in very many ways I think selling our services with that sort of technology forward I think is a big selling feature, and irrigation's a perfect example of that. But whether it's weather monitoring and autonomous mowing and plowing or VR for, you know, giving people customer care manuals and, you know, all these other things that are starting to hit, it's pretty exciting to see. So definitely something that needs to be part of the plan and part of the budget, I think. And I do think some of those early adopters are going to come away with a big advantage if they go at it in a mindful way. So we'll take a few questions just about general planning, what it takes to win, what it means to be in a peer group. If anybody has questions specifically about that, if you want to go ahead and lob some questions into the chat, I can ask. We've got a few minutes here left for Q&A, and happy to share your questions. I've certainly got a few more if nobody else jumps in here, guys. But Dale Sykes just asked, how do I join a peer group?
Dale, great question. So we've got what we call an ACE Discovery event coming up. So what's great about our groups is that we go through an onboarding process together. So we'll put you with another large group of people that are interested in joining. We go through an onboarding process as part of what we call ACE Discovery for our ACE peer group. So we do that twice a year. We do it once in March. We do it once in November. So our next opportunity to go through the ACE Discovery onboarding event would be March 20th through the 22nd in New Orleans, where you would join up to 50 other companies that are interested in joining. You go through the onboarding. We get to know you more. You get to know us more. And we can appropriately place you in a group that is a best fit for you and the goals that you have for your company. So that ACE Discovery is the first way that we do it. And as Mark mentioned, we've got one just about 60 days from now. So coming up here to get everybody ready for spring.
Great. Yeah, that was super clear. And so Dale, I sat in on one of those this fall at the ACE event in Banff. That was a fantastic experience. So even if you head out to that discovery session, not too sure if you want to be in a peer group, I think that experience kind of very, very much clarifies what it means to be in a peer group and the type of content that you're going to be exposed to, and then the type of accountability structure that they put in place for the members so that you really do improve as a team. But one sort of immediate takeaway that I took from that discovery is, you know, just how much your peer group becomes sort of your board of directors. And if you're a private company, and you're an owner operator and you don't really have that level of accountability to some of the things that you're planning, I think that is really like the big change that I think happens quickly, which it was my first question here today. But I really did see that firsthand. I think the people that were at Discovery to join a peer group, most of them were really realizing that this would be different. It would be a different way of running their business in the future, because they're going to set ideas. They're going to share those ideas with their peers. Their peers are going to help them create better ideas, because you've got more patterns in the room. But then also, like, once you've committed to something, you're coming back and updating the group on how it's going. And I think that kind of helps keep people on track more than anything. That Discovery session really, I think, would clarify that for you. So if you're interested in joining, I would highly recommend attending the Discovery in March.
Yeah, thank you, Mark.
Yeah, and I will tell you,
Mark Thomas had a question.
The group you got to be a part of in Banff, I actually am facilitating that group, and it's been really awesome to see these guys and these ladies grow together as they're starting to get familiar with each other and the facilitators starting to get involved, and just going through all the pain points that they're all experiencing. I'm building my facility and cash flow is tight. I'm not getting snow. I'm getting too much snow. My guys have been snowing, plowing for 48 hours. What do I do? You know, like the conversations that we're able to have as a group that you're able to capitalize on through the power of the group, to just fast track the answers and fast track the dialogues that otherwise you're an island by yourself, you know, without them.
Yeah, getting 12 ideas when you're pondering something. I'm thinking of doing this or this. What have you guys tried in the past? And yeah, certainly kind of prevents you from going down some dead end roads here and there, I think, as a result. A good question came in here from Mark Thomas. Are peer groups strictly for owners only, or are these opportunities for like sales specific groups and whatnot? Is there a mix?
Great. That's a great question. So Mark, so we've set up our peer group program for owners only. And we do that for a couple of reasons. One, through the power of the group, we're looking to have good open dialogue with the people who are managing these operations to impact change as quickly as we possibly can. And so what we're looking for is for you to be able to step away from your business once a quarter when we do our on-site meetings, where you'll get to see, learn, experience, feel in touch as an owner. And then we're coaching you on a monthly basis through our accountability calls on what you do with that information and how do you get your director of sales or your account managers, how do you start to engage them and involve them from an ownership side of it? So we do not have, right hand, we do require you to have an ownership stake in the business to be part of a peer group.
Good. Okay. Well, that's great. I appreciate all the feedback. Brittany, if you don't mind just moving the slides forward, we'll wrap up here and that should answer a couple of these final questions. So next week, we've got strategies for upskilling your crews. So we're going to talk about employee development. We're going to talk about training. We're going to talk about utilizing apprenticeships and career pathways to reduce the turnover in your business, but really take advantage of just how much most people are looking to upskill themselves. And so we're gonna focus on that next week in our discussion. I'm gonna be with Matt Krinklup. Sorry, clearly I talk too much all day, wearing my voice out. Next slide, there, Brittany. The two-day mastermind sessions are ongoing. We've got lots of these available over the next few months. Hopefully you can jump in to one of those two-day sessions. We go super deep on people process and sales process. So every business is made up of two main components, the customers we serve and the problems we set out to solve for them. And then the people that we hire and train and develop to solve those problems. And so we spend 2 days really, really just deep diving our customers and our services and our employees of what we need to do to really evolve that sales process and the people development process to optimize the business overall. So hopefully you can make your way out to one of those. We also have our annual user summit backed by popular demand. Super excited about this. We've got February 20th to 22nd, there's about 25 industry speakers at this. There will be a huge team of LMN people there to help do one-on-one meetings so that you can unlock the next opportunity in the software. We've got people from our payments team there if you want to set up payment collection, that kind of thing. All kinds of people from our team to help you get the most out of the software. But definitely the speakers are where it's at. We've got, as I said, I think 25 industry experts, mostly contractors that we've hand selected based on what makes them special. We kind of choose those that really stand out in the industry, and we've got them coming to share their tips and tricks and lessons learned so that you can take these ideas back to your own companies and really leverage all of that knowledge for yourself. And then the ACE discovery that we've been talking about, I'm going to be there myself. Wanted to really make sure that you are clear here. If you want to join a peer group, if you're really interested in joining a peer group, that discovery is definitely the place to go. That's kind of step one in joining a peer group. That's where you get a chance to take part in a few days to really learn about what it means to be part of a peer group. So hopefully you can hit that QR code or hit that link below and check that out. And then also the Grow event, which is 1,000 plus people at an incredible event coming up in Des Moines, Iowa. So maybe you guys could share what happens at Grow. I think we've
yeah, Mark, it's
Ace, but not Grow here.
Three days of fun education and a ton of networking and learning. So not only do we do it in the classroom, but we get to go tour a company. So we're going to tour RJ Lawn and Landscape, which is about a $10 million company in Des Moines, Iowa, get an inside confidential look at how they operate. You couple that with sessions at a hotel that are breakout sessions on sales or finance or ops or leadership and some keynotes. It's just an amazing time. And again, the networking and the community there is really what makes that event sing. It's all landscape pros that all want to get better together. Couple that with a nice facility tour, right, that you get to see and feel what another company and how they do it operates. It's just a great event. So Grow and Discovery, two great things coming up for Chris and I.
Yep. Excellent. So lots of learning opportunities there. I'm sure we just threw far too many events at the crowd here to attend them all. But choose one or choose them all, but definitely this time of year, getting out and networking with other peers, you know, show up with your list of challenges and spend time with all of the other contractors and experts at these events and make sure that you ask good questions if you go to some of these events. And I think you'll find that the other contractors and the other experts that are at these events are always really willing to share. I think it's a great way to build your network, great way to kind of come away with some new ideas. And I think just kind of reinvigorate that motivation for you and your team to keep moving. It's nice to spend time with peers and gain a little energy and excitement based on what you're seeing from other companies. It's always a game changer. So hopefully you'll make your way out to some of these events. And if not, we'll see you next week. And thanks, guys. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Mark.
Thanks for having us, Mark.
Sharing.
All right, everybody.